the gospel is for all. And as the little child says, amen, learning is in process. It is good to be able to come back on this evening to share God's word with you. As I was sitting there waiting for the 5 o'clock hour to strike, thinking about all the cars parked outside and the few people that were gathered inside. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know you wouldn't know if I wouldn't tell you, I was definitely thinking about changing my lesson on this evening. This book is filled with them, I just want you to know right now. But we're going to stick with the agenda, and we're going to talk this evening on the subject of, when it rolls around, a way of life. Because that's what we're living right now, is a way of life. And if the way we're living is not pleased, or does not please God, our way of life will lead to death. So I want you to take a moment to think about how you're living. And as you're thinking about how you're living, think about where God has brought you from, how far He has brought you, and how far He can take you. It's important that we realize that just when you thought it was safe to take off the training wheels, guess what? It's a disappointing day. I don't care how much protection you have. Knee pads, elbow pads, a helmet. That child that you taught how to ride a bicycle, sooner or later he's or she is going to fall. And when they fall, we as parents may not always be there to pick them up. And you know what that is? It's a way of life. But as we think about this way of life, we need to think about who is teaching whom. Because there are so many people that need to be teachers, but yet it needs somebody to teach you. Our youngest son, he told us that we didn't teach him how to ride a bicycle. He taught himself. Guess he taught himself well, because today he still knows how to ride. But we know different. But who is teaching whom? The scripture reading came from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. We're just going to examine it one more time, or maybe several times throughout this lesson. The writer is making reference to our Lord and Savior. And he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Some of you are under the impression, or some of you give the impression, that I really don't care what you're saying, so it's hard to explain some things to you. But when we open our minds to God's word and we're ready to receive it, as they were there in Thessalonica, they were ready to receive the word with a readiness of mind. And as the word was taught to them in Acts chapter 17, verses 11, that they searched the scriptures daily. But he says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now there are some people that are grown who can't eat solid food like some of us. You know, I like a good meal. You know, I like to get my steak or my chicken or whatever, and I like to be able to chew down on it. But I know one day may come where I'm not able to eat that solid food anymore, because maybe my health has failed me. Or maybe I don't have any teeth, but I know that there are some people, my father-in-law was one of them, who could gum a good steak just like the next man. But I want you to realize, but we have some Christian folk that cannot handle the thickness of God's Word because they're in need of the first principles. Now, some of you need to be teaching classes instead of setting in classes. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, if you have been a Christian longer than, let's just make it convenient for some, longer than a year, 2 years, you're no longer a babe. You need to be eating some meat. You need to be, instead of sitting in somebody's class, you need to be teaching somebody's class. And I'm not saying that every new Christian, as you grow a year, you may not be able to go in a classroom, but you can teach somebody somewhere what you learned when you became a Christian, and that person too can become a Christian. But there are some that they can't do these things. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature Christians. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now how many Christians do we have that's here this evening that know how to discern between good and evil? Oh, he's not hurting anybody. Leave him alone. Everything is going to be alright when he's teaching false doctrine. You're not able to discern between good and evil. You're not able to take God's word and use it in order to fashion that God would be pleased with to help someone else out on their Christian walk. So you need somebody to set you down and teach you again the first principles so you may go out and learn these things and you may go out and teach someone else. So who's teaching whom? What we need is a reality check, don't we? You know, as Brother Mark and I were talking about his truck. You know, Brother Mark doesn't have the best truck in the world. That truck needs some repairs done to it. Well, his truck is not the only one that ever need repairs. There's other people's trucks that need repairs too. If you pull out here through the week, you're going to see my truck. You're going to say, that brother talking about my truck? My truck got a big dent in the top of it. Well, pole hit. It needs repair. So we need a reality check. Before we try to help someone else out, we need to help ourselves out. I'm not trying to get mine fixed. I just want you to know that right now. So I'm going to tell Brother Mark, you shouldn't let your truck get in such dire need where you have to fix more than one thing at a time. So, and he's working on that. But I want you to ask yourself this question, who will receive your crown? You know, we're talking about in the book of James that, you know, those that endure these trials and tribulations of life, you know, if you endure, you will receive a crown of life. Who's going to receive your crown? Will God ask any one of your status come judgment? We already know God don't have to ask anybody because God knows everything. But some think, well, maybe my mom can stand there and vouch for me. Who's going to vouch for your mom? My grandmother, she was a praying lady. I know I'm going to get to heaven. Is your grandmother going to get to heaven? See, we need to ask these questions to ourselves every now and then. It's a reality check. You will have to give an account of your sins, just like I will have to give an account of my sins. You know what this is again, right? It's a way of life. And if we don't live our life pleasing to God, then this next question, it answers itself, don't we? Doesn't it? Or are you ready for that day? What day? Today is the Lord's day. Some wasn't ready for today. Oh, is today Sunday already? Do I have to go to worship service? This is not the day we're talking about. We're talking about that day when you will be judged according to your deeds, whether good or whether bad. A reality check. So what are we doing? We're looking for a better way. You know, it's always good to have a better way. Again, you know, my wife, she keeps saying on a constant basis, and I keep talking about my wife because my wife always says something good to encourage me. But we're talking about the way that we come to this building since we're in Radcliffe and we're traveling back and forth. The Burgess gave us a good way to come. A better way. It knocks off some time. It saves on some gas. You know, all these things were important because it's a way of life, but what we're doing this evening is we're looking for a better way. In John 3:16, God gave us that better way. For he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. That's a better way, isn't it? Believing in his son, and we'll have a better way. And we looked at this morning, believing is just not enough. You also have to be baptized. But we're looking for a better way. In Luke chapter 6, to verses 46. You know, there are many people today that are saying, no, I believe in Jesus Christ. I know who Jesus Christ is. But Jesus says in Luke 6, 46, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? We got a problem, don't we? You know what? You know what? I'm not going to go back, but what we need to go back and look at is that slide before this and do a reality check. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You know Jesus, but the real question is, do Jesus know you? And we already, if you don't know, you will know in just a second. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I don't care how many good works you do, if you do not follow our Lord until death, if you're not faithful until death, it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not. A reality check, isn't it? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to do a quick scan, if you don't mind. I'm looking for some faces. I'm not trying to call any names. I'm just looking for some faces. No, not you, brother. You're not the one I'm looking for. Look what the Bible says. Because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. A reality check. This is a lesson all within itself. You say what you're going to do, but you don't do it. God does not play. When his wrath comes down upon man, God is serious. Lukewarm. You know, the Bible says, you know, I'd rather have you cold or hot. That way I know who you are. But if you're lukewarm, we're going to have a problem. Because you may tell me one thing and do something totally different. That's why I was doing that scan. You know, I was looking for some faces, and I get the names a little bit later on. But the faces I'm looking for, they're not here this evening. So we have a problem, don't we? We have a problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. There's no doubt that we need to understand this, and we need to understand it well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verses 10, it says, for we must all, not some of us, but all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or whether it be good or bad. Every one of us. I don't have to give an account for nothing you do, and you don't have to give account for anything I do. Now the elders or shepherds in the flock, they're going to have to give an account, you know, of what they do, but they can't make anybody else do anything. So if they don't shepherd the flock right, they're going to have to give an account of that. And if we don't follow their lead, we're going to have to give an account for that. Each one of us. The things in which we do. So what we're doing again is we're looking for a better way. Again, there the verse is right there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If you don't find that better way, depart from me. I don't know you. I know you not. Wouldn't it be sad if you went home to visit your family and you knocked on the door and they opened the door and they didn't recognize who you are? Wouldn't that be sad? Well, the sad thing is you are part of the family of God. And when you die and you stand before the judgment throne, if you were not faithful unto death, he says, I don't know you. Now that's just going to be a sad day. You know, a sad day is coming. It is coming. We need to prepare for that day. We need to do the things that God tells us. We need to be the people who God wants us to be. Jesus said himself in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So what do you mean we need to repent? You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to turn from doing wrong and start doing the things that are right. It was worth repeating. He didn't just say it in verse 3, but he said it also in verse 5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. No one here, I'm sure, want to perish. If you have never talked to anyone that loves the wrong way, keep on living. You'll meet them sooner or later. I was talking to a young man about 23 years ago, and he said he was a Satan worshiper. I said, really? He said, yes, I'm a Satan worshiper. But I want you to understand something about a man that worships Satan. He believes in this book that's called the Bible. And why do they believe in this book? They believe in this book because if they believe in Satan, they believe in God. And they believe God's word to be true, but yet they still want to be rebellious against him. So therefore, we need to understand that we need to find a better way that we're looking for. So we need to continue to teach men like that. So what we want to examine this evening is we want to examine for a little while the 3-second rule. I know many of you are familiar with it, and I may get some of this wrong, but that's okay too. It's my lesson. But the 3-second rule. When you fall in the automobile, the one that's in front of you, so do you mean your father, Brother Thanopoulos? You need to stay behind that automobile at least 3 seconds. Pick out a stationary object and count. 1001, 1002, 1003. If you get up on that automobile, if you get to 2002 before you get to that, when you get to that stationary object, you're too close. The faster you go, the distance needs to get bigger. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to teach you track at school. I know sooner or later may have to go down there and change my life, and they may ask me to take a test for Kentucky, so I need to study up on that book. But the book I want to study up on is even the Bible. But we want to talk about that 3-second rule because if you follow too close, you're subject to hit the person in front of you. I always look over that speed on when my wife is driving, and I say, baby, slow down. She said, I'm driving 60. I say, yes, but the speed limit is 55. What a disappointment. When people drive too close, they're subject to have an accident. Conditions of the 3-second rule. Maintain a safe following distance, the 3-second rule. The 3-second rule in the paint, basketball, illegal defense. I may have that right and I may have it wrong. I'm not a fan. I just want y'all to know. But it's my lesson. The most common is the rule regarding food falling to the floor. The time may vary. Hey, well, pick it up. Not been 3 seconds yet. Pick it up, blow it off, eat it. Okay, we teach little kids this. They mom and dad don't like it, but we say, hey, the floor is clean. Maybe eat the food before they come back in the room. But you know what? Within the 3 seconds, pick it up and eat it. Some try to extend the time, and with some time is not a factor. They don't care. Some people don't care about time. Oh, I don't mind how long that food is. I'm going to pick it up and eat it. Little children, they go hide food sometimes. They go back and they find that food and they eat it. But look what it says in Russia. There exists a similar rule. Promptly picked up is not considered falling. It only takes a matter of seconds. I just want you to understand some things this evening. Only takes a matter of seconds for one to hit a pole. If they're not paying attention to what they're doing. You drop something in an automobile, you bend down to pick it up, and guess what? When you look up, there's a pole in front of you. How long do you have to speed before you get pulled over? The highway patrolman don't care how long you were speeding. If you're speeding, you're going to get in trouble. How long do you have to live in sin before it's considered to be sin? 3 seconds here is not a factor. I want you to know that right now. When you first think about sin, the sin has been conceived in your mind. If you look upon a woman and lust after her, you committed adultery. That's, you know, in the army they say, well, you can look at a woman for 8 seconds, and after that 8 seconds you need to look away. If you continue to look at her, it's sexual harassment. Some go and they look at that woman for 7 seconds, then they look away and say, I still had another second, so they take another look. Sin. Where do you stand, teacher or student? Y'all know the verse. Just read it a while ago. What do you stand? Do you need someone to teach you? Or do you need to be teaching someone? Just think about it. Think about it. Is there one? That's all we're looking for, is one. Looking for some soul to be converted according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Looking for some soul to be converted. Converted from the evil ways. Converted from their wickedness. Converted from their sin. We're looking for a soul to be saved. Matthew chapter 13, the verse is 15. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. They have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Is there one that want to be converted from their evil ways? Is there one that want to be converted from their sins? See, it's a way of life. And we're looking for a better way. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. As we consider the scriptures and as we continue to search them, we need to do a self-evaluation of our own lives. Isaiah 29, verse 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth, near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me," what does he say? "But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." What are we doing again? We're looking for a better way. But is there one that think like this? You know, God, I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Matthew chapter 15, verse 89 says the same thing. "So don't tell me what you think I want to hear, but tell me what is right." See, that should be our attitude. In Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. See, it's time for a change. I know when Obama was running for president the first time, you know, his campaign, you know, he a time for a change. And there's plenty of people that were looking for a change. But what we're looking for today is one that's willing to change their ways from wrong to doing the things that's right. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. It is time for a change. Romans 13, verse 13 and 14. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rowdying and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Can you see the change that maybe you need to be making in your life? Can you see the change that maybe your neighbor needs to be making in their life? Can you see the change? Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your children, the change that they need to be making in their life. Is there one? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. "Oh, how I want to do right, but what?" Today is all you have. You know, yeah, you said, well, you said that last week, what is your life but a vapor? It appeared for a little while and then vanished it away. Keep on waiting. Keep on waiting. You will be the one that's standing on judgment day trying to get in. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 41, it said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh, how I want to do right, but what? But what? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I want to encourage you on this evening. As we're talking about encouragement this morning, how to encourage. Do not try to fit in, but get in where you fit in. Man told me one time, you know, he came to worship and he looked around and he said, "I don't fit in here." I said, "Well, get in where you fit in then." He left the congregation and went and worshiped somewhere else. That was all right. He didn't fit in. If you don't fit in somewhere, then change where you are. Can't change the people, change the people. You know, do the things that God wants you to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. There are so many of our young people today, not just the young, but some of the old people, are trying to do the things of the world. God is not pleased with that. He says here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, my friends talk about me, and they talk about me all the time. You need some new friends. Oh, the people that I hang out with, they just don't care about doing right. You need to quit hanging out with those people. Find you some good people to hang out with. Christian folks shouldn't have to hear this, should they? But you know what? We are the very ones that says those things. My friends just don't want to do right. No, you just don't want to do right. What can I do? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. When we start talking about a way of life, there are certain things that we cannot do with certain people. Well, we don't want to give the gospel to unfaithful men. But for Paul told Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, let's start with verse 1 and come down to verse 2. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Isn't that something? That we're not commanded to the things in which we'll learn to try to push them on unfaithful brethren? Let them keep doing the things that they're doing. When they become faithful, then we give them the meat of God's word. Commit thou the things in which thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So let us examine the work of the faithful. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. We need to ask ourselves, does our work measure up to God's expectations? Not man's, but God's expectations. Yes or no? Yes or no? You answer it yourself. I can't tell you. You tell yourself. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it on the bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Now, how many of you, when the lights go out, you go and light a candle and then take it and put it in a corner somewhere? Or do you take that candle and put it in a lampstand and set it so you can see in that room? Can you do more? Can you do more? Or do you want to do more? Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. We're not going to read the whole thing. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. You know, as you go down and read there about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, I want you to think about self for a moment. How wise are you? How foolish are you? How wise are those that just want to miss assembly just to be missing assembly? How foolish are they? How foolish are they? Are your lamps full, or do you need to go purchase some oil? I can't go to worship. Oh man, I left my Bible at home. Well, you know, as I was walking through the church building the other day, I saw Bibles on the pew, so that's no excuse, is it? Brother Fred, we was coming up here, and he said, I left my glasses at home. Brother Fred, first one to get to the building, he had plenty of time to go back home and get his glasses. Did he turn around and go back and get them? No. You know, Brother Fred probably knew all these scriptures I'm saying, so I'm just picking on him for a second here. But I want you to understand something. If we do not prepare ourselves, we will not be prepared. See, we have no idea when the bridegroom is coming back, do we? So we continue to look at this, and there in verse 13 it says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We have no idea. So we have to prepare ourselves. That's what you can do. You can prepare yourself. So are you ready? I guess that's the big question. Are you ready? Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven. Look what it says. But my Father only. God is the only one that knows that day. You don't know. I don't know. But you know what each one of us have to do? We have to prepare. If we do not prepare ourselves, we're going to be in for a rude, rude awakening. I want you to consider something as we close. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching in Samaria, the Bible says in Acts 8 verse 9, as he was preaching and teaching God's word, it says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, said, this man is the great power of God. I want you to think about that just for a moment. As you think about the many false things you've heard about God's Word. I want you to think about that just for a moment as you think about the many false ways that people tell you that you can come to God. Simon was a sorcerer. He bewitched the people. He used witchcraft. But the scriptures continue to say that God's word is stronger than what the power that Simon has, that to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. But it said there in verse 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed now, Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You see how great God's power is? You see, it's greater than man's power. It's not witchcraft, but it's the truth. And not only did the people believe in God's word, but also that one which was a sorcerer, Simon. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I want you to think about your life. And think about, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you being the people which God wants you to be? If not, why not? It's a way of life. If your life is displeasing to God, you need to change. If your life is displeasing to self, you know good and well you need to change. If you're here on this evening, you're not a Christian. Why? Oh, why not this evening? It's simple. You come forth, you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. And then live faithful. Faithful unto death. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you're wanting and willing to come back, the opportunity is given to you to come forth and make your confession. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Ask the congregation to pray for you. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.